Blog Talk Radio.
Shot down the plane over Pennsylvania.
Unavailable. If they're unavailable, then why the fuck they calling me?
My ears are similar to Jack Nicholson's in that movie Wolf. I can hear the hair grow on a juicy bush. I can hear well beyond 40,000 hertz. I can hear shit that make a pit bull's ears hurt. I can hear aliens whispering about Earth. People mining their diamonds while they fixing the worst. I can hear my niggas' pens scrape across the paper as they write me from prisons manufactured to enslave ya. I can hear my fans in Idaho talking about payday should have been signed long ago. I can hear Sumner Redstone in the convo talking to Les Moonves in his Volvo. I can hear pharmaceutical giants talking in their boardroom what they do to their clients. I am here to announce I can hear you, motherfucker, when you ain't even open your mouth.
I know what you're gonna say.
As I possibly can. Fuck the messages the queers who be mocking me send. Your government is not your mommy or your friend. The FDA is a monster murdering men. Your representatives are genetic clones. If you open up their closet, you're bombarded with bones. Kept quiet by the wealth and such. If they open up their mouth, they will self-destruct. I pray to Bob you ain't buying the news, cause their primary job is to lie and confuse. Don't misconstrue, keep your eye on the rules. America's now run by Zionist Jews. The same way a warden runs a prison. The warden has a boss inmates cannot vision. The owners have no religion that you've heard of. Their mission statement is genocide and mass murder.
I know what you're gonna say.
Nobody expects my bars to be in order, but that's where they wrong. I'm not interested in all these hyped up, overblown producers charging $1 billion because of their name and bopping their head in the studio, faking, trying to get me to buy the track by bopping their head, and the record is garbage. I want some hate. You know what I mean? That's what it is.
I don't give a flying fuck if you're a fan of Captain Alex Panic. He was manufactured in a lab right off the South Atlantic for the purposes of acclimation of the population and the desensitization to the open proclamation. Beyond him, you could easily see. One does not need a motherfucking degree. This is not an attack or a critique, just an observation of fact, what I speak. The creatures who own him will leave you hurt or murder you like rubbing some dirt off of their shirt. Gatekeeper extraordinaire, you don't like that, I do not care. I'm just here to disseminate truth, and everything I state is fact, I have absolute proof. $1 billion can go a long way, they have 4 trillion with which they can play.
I know what you're gonna say when people you.
NWO Truth Radio, While You're Sleeping in Conspiracy Corner, here hanging out in the studio, Saturday, July 18th, 2015. Just had Wes drop out of the switchboard. So, either way, again, Saturday, 9 p.m. here on the East Coast, just hanging out at the studio with Wes. He just dropped out for a minute, but I guess we were sort of talking about, there he goes. Yeah, Wes, you dropped out there, but I was saying that. Yeah, how's it going, dude?
Oh, it's going good, man. So right when the song was ending, I was like, where'd he go? And then I realized my phone dropped the call. I was like, really? But anyway, okay. Yeah, thanks. Another show with me together, man. I love our shows, and just whatever we end up getting into is always interesting. So I'm talking 2 weeks, I guess. Right. So
2 weeks? I thought it was just a week.
Yeah, we missed a week, so I guess. I don't know.
Last week. Right?
Right. Something like that. I don't know. I can't keep
maybe it was more. I don't know. I don't know either.
I don't know. You've been busy. I've been busy, but, you know, we're back.
Yeah. A lot of shit going on, so, you know, but we're back here now, hanging out. By the way, the last show was on the 10th, and then the last Conspiracy Corner was on the 1st. So it has been a little bit over about 2.5 weeks, something like that, at least for Conspiracy Corner. We'll get back to the normal schedule next week, though, if we can.
I kind of felt bad we didn't do a show the other Wednesday because I was up all night Tuesday. It happened to be up, and I was watching the stock market and stuff, and watched the Chinese index drop 1,400 points, and I was telling people, like, hey, watch the New York Stock Exchange tomorrow. It could get interesting with that big of a drop in China, and then boom, that shit closed for 4 hours. I was like, damn. And then we didn't do a show tonight. I was too tired anyway, but still it was like, that was just crazy shit. There was a lot of crazy shit happened that day.
Yeah, it has been an interesting week. Different things going on over here, but overall in the nation, you had... I think a little bit before what we were talking about before the show, I think the Colorado shooter, is that what it was?
James Holmes sentencing.
Yeah, talking about him before the show, and you know, I seen like other people talking about it here and there, and they say, like, you know, I wonder why it's taking so long to convict them, you know, this, that, and the other. And it's kind of funny because, like, these people obviously just kind of, you know, bite whatever's fed to them, you know, and you can tell they don't question anything because, you know, it is really, this is, I think, a more unique case than, say, like Columbine. And I mean, Columbine is its own unique case in its own right, but at least, you know, by in terms of, like, the shooters and so on and so forth. I think Columbine is something, you know, that actually happened in the sense, you know, that essentially that day that Columbine happened, Clinton waged essentially an illegal war, went to war illegally, brought the United States into a conflict overseas. So there's a lot to, like, cover up, at least in the media that day, as such with the Holmes thing. But I think Columbine is something that, at least as far as, like, you know, the shooters, you know, are they who the media is portraying them to be? You know, I think that was probably, you know, that not accurate. But again, however, that... you know, incident, be it staged or not, it was something that was echoed in the media in order to keep, you know, the foreign agenda off of the radar. And in the case of James Holmes, there's a few things that's interesting. Well, you know, he's got his PhD in neuroscience, and his father works for, I guess, allegedly works for LIBOR, or a company that essentially kept track of financial records for the London International Bank offered rate. And also, he was found locked inside of the car, in the backseat of the car. I guess he was intoxicated on something that they call devil's breath. And The car keys to the car were actually found like 2 miles away from the scene. So it's just really weird. Like, a lot of it's kind of like really strange and iffy. So again, who knows exactly what really happened? But again, I think that he was found guilty. Like we were saying, as far as sentencing go, I don't know if sentencing happened yet. I thought that he got life, but I could be wrong, but I know that he, you know, tried to plead insanity and stuff like that. That didn't take. So he was found guilty. And again, he's in Colorado. There's a couple things that people must know about Colorado. First is this is where, like, the Guantanamo Bay of, like, America is. It's in Colorado. They don't execute there, so the state has no death penalty, essentially. And Colorado is unique in, like, in the respects to, like, Guantanamo is because of the high-profile prisoners that it keeps, like the Unabomber, Ted Kaczynski's one of them. You have various Islamic, alleged terrorists that are in there, so on and so forth. So, but yeah, do you know if he was sentenced that same day? I mean, I'm pretty sure that he was. I'm not sure, though. And definitely.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I didn't have that chance to actually look it up yet. But, it definitely is. If anyone saw, you know, the footage is all that was developing and, you know, just as many of these events, you know, whatever you think about them, there's a lot of, you know, conflicting information and things that just don't really pass the sniff test. But, you know, even just looking at, you know, James Holmes in the courtroom, pupils were dilated as, like, wide as possible, you know what I'm saying? Look like a cat in a dim room. Boom! You know what I mean? That dude could have seen freaking Mars. I mean, he was completely drugged up or whacked out on something. And again, like you said, you know, shortly before this incident, like, you know, up to a couple months before this incident, he was, like, a, you know, shit-hot neuroscience. Like, they were looking at, you know, a lot of, you know, high-level type stuff, you know, scientifically wise. And then, you know, again, the potential connection with the whole LIBOR rigging scandal, you know, which, you know, allegedly has some ties to Sandy Hook and, what was that kid's name?
Yeah, there's a loose-based connection between, I know what you're talking about, too.
Yeah, I can't remember that kid's name. Adam Lanza, but allegedly his dad may have also been in a similar position.
Yeah, I've heard
in
that.
Knowledge of and or investigating LIBOR. So again, those are kind of, you know, not validated, but, you know, either way, there's other elements of both those stories that just don't add up. You know, James Holmes was found in the back seat, and there's no keys. Like, how'd the car get from where the keys are to there? You know, like, simple things don't add up. Adam Lanza was, like, 90 pounds soaking wet. Allegedly, he was carrying, like, 40 pounds of gear. You know? No. Like, I have all that gear, and that shit's heavy. You know what I mean? And I'm, like, you know, 5'9", like, 180. That shit's heavy. You know, there's no way someone half my weight could lug that shit around with all the guns and the ammo. You know what I mean? There's just, like, simple things that don't add up about all those stories. You know, same thing with Boston bombing and the Darnell guys. And with this new shooting in Tennessee, you know, again, allegedly the FBI had, you know, all kinds of knowledge about this guy.
Yeah, it's really weird. I mean, again, the implications of, all right, first of all, Adam Lanza is weird just simply because his if you look at it, Social Security Death Index, SSDI, and if you look at his Social Security Death Index card, it essentially says that he died, like, I think 2 or 3 days prior to this incident. It's on my wall somewhere, but that's really kind of strange. Some people could argue, oh, well, maybe it's somebody else with the same name, but it's a little bit more, you know, detailed than that. You can kind of decipher on, you know, if it's somebody who's been named in a major, you know, media debacle type thing. But it's interesting with the LIBOR thing. So for those who don't know, LIBOR, London International Bank Offer Rate, fixed rate loan offers and stuff like that. Like, you go to the bank, you want a loan for your car or whatever, they fix the rates on those loans that you end up receiving. and having to pay back and so forth. And they've been doing that since, I think, what, like the 30s, I think? Maybe later, maybe about the 50s or something. By the way, they essentially been, you know, manipulating. It's financial terrorism, essentially. So, you know, they've been committing these crimes for decades, essentially. And allegedly, Mr. PhD in neuroscience, James Holmes, his father, was allegedly supposed to, I guess he was on, LIBOR was on trial for, again, financial terrorism. I think when that happened, essentially what they were doing was establishing witnesses, witness lists and stuff like that, that would essentially appear and give, you know, corroborating testimony to either the prosecutors or the defendants in the case of LIBOR, and allegedly his father. So, I mean, even if he was something that was, like, very direct with him or indirect, it really doesn't matter, because either way, his name was on that list for people who were to appear in court and give their deposition. So, basically, one of the best ways that you could possibly discredit somebody without ever going near them is character assassination, because essentially that's what, when you get into court and a courtroom like that, especially, you would be surprised on how it is more so, again, based on characteristic merits than anything else. The best way to essentially, maybe I guess you could say, discredit somebody's assassination, you know, character assassination. And you could do this simply by discrediting members of their family, especially people whom they were close to. So this sort of, you know, if he did have some sort of substantial evidence, this definitely would have made it a discredit to his testimony.
But anyway, it also makes an example of people, you know, again, if you look at what I call the butcher's bill, you know, for bankers for the last, you know, 2+ years, there's a lot of high-profile people, many of which have worked, you know, for the same company, J.P. Morgan, which is, of course, one of the giants, and, you know, many of them who had accidents, you know, I mean, ruled suicide, falling off a building, nail guns, you know, that kind of stuff. There's a lot of loose ends getting cut. You know what I mean? When all this stuff starts coming out, and again, a lot of those bankers worked in the foreign exchange market. So with all of the, you know, petrodollar, you know, petroyuan, all these kind of things coming up, there's certain people that would have had an inside information on that, because that's, you know, they were working on that. And then once they, you know, had done their job, they were eliminated because they knew too much. I mean, that's my theory.
Right.
But
yeah,
again, especially in the U.S., if you can do that and, you know, make a spectacle out of it, not only making an example of those people and what they're willing to do to you, your family, you know, whoever, but also you make it a mass shooting and a, you know, big fear tactic to disarm the populace, you know, that's just, you know, a 2-for-1 right there.
Also, you have the alleged victims here of his massacre, or whatever you want to put it. I guess they want the death penalty, but again, the you know, Colorado is not a state that offers the death penalty, so I'm not exactly sure how that would work out. You know, like I said, again, the Colorado state correctional facilities are unique, and they are definitely one-of-a-kind systems. And again, only, you know, the baddest of the bad are in there as in respects to, you know, popularity and, you know, event or whatever have you. Like I said, you know, you have people in there from alleged, you know, Mujahideen type terrorists to Ted Kaczynski. So.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, Denver itself, you know, is believed by many to be kind of one of the new, you know, NWO kind of hubs, you know, where they have a lot of intelligence and different, you know, operations that are run out of, you know, the Mile High City up there, you know, so there's that angle. It's interesting to me as well that these kinds of things, you know, where they happen, you know, New York is where a lot of them happen. That's where everything is, you know, that's where the, you know, the stock exchange, all the bankers, you know, a lot of these, you know, different, what they call it, firms like the think tanks, and you've also got the UN there, you know, so, I mean, it's a complete headquarters for a lot of the, you know, the NWO leadership and you know, committees and all the buildings and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, it's not surprising that these things happen in specific areas. You know, the Chattanooga, Tennessee one is kind of an interesting location choice for this one. You know, maybe it's a strike at the heartland kind of thing. I don't know. But, you know, New York, you know, Colorado, you know, places in Texas, you know, Dallas, you know, there's certain, you know, certain places that is not as outlandish. But, like, Chattanooga, Tennessee, like, what the hell? You know what I mean? That's, like, kind of random. It's not a big place.
Yeah. Yeah, there's you know, speaking of like the heartland and shit, like at the international stage of the heartland, essentially Eastern Europe, had some activity in Ukraine over the weekend. I think it's been about what, well, it happened in, been about, what, a year and a half or something like that. Yeah, about a year and a half since the United States installed its proxy government in Kyiv there. I guess, they, I don't know, I just seen a couple things about that. That was pretty interesting, and, I saw about the German plane, the German Wings crash victims, families reject German Wings compensation offer. I think we went over it a little bit. I don't know if we got into it, but when was it? I don't know. I think it was about 6 months ago or something like that. But the German Wings plane that crashed in the mountains, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's just another example of, you know, these plane crashes and things that, you know, there's been several kind of interesting ones, you know, the one getting shot down, the one crashing, the one that they just, like, straight up lost, you know what I mean? Like, how
well,
did you use...
Yeah, this dude, the pilot, the pilot, he locked himself in the cockpit and he deliberately steered the plane into the mountainside there. That's what's interesting. Yeah, about the German Wings one, I think Rob Dyke did an episode and said, are we manufacturing psychopaths or something like that? But, so he, Rob Dyke, he makes a pretty good claim to that. But, yeah, that's interesting, though. So, I guess, essentially, they offered, €50,000, I think, is what they offered each family member. And, again, one U.S. dollar is equal to 0.923923 euros, so not even essentially a dollar.
I thought the euro was like 1.1. I think theirs is still a tiny bit worth, like, more or something than a dollar. I'm not mistaken. But anyway, yeah, it's
Yeah, it could be.
They're still not, I mean, that's still not a lot, you know what I mean, to get no answer. You know, it's interesting,
yeah.
Just like in the financial world with all these corporations, you know, these fictional entities that have pleaded guilty to felony charges and paid fines, of course, back to the government, not back to the people who lost the money, you know what I mean? But also, no one goes to jail, you know what I mean? There's no investigation. It's the same thing. They're just buying people off. Say, hey, you're not going to find out, and if you did know, we'd probably have to kill you, so just take the money and go away. That's what they want you to do, you know what I mean? Of course, they're going to lowball it. Look at the big Gulf oil spill thing, you know what I mean? They got penalized, like, it was like $85 million or something, but, like, they make that in, like, a couple of days. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
British Petroleum. So it's like, ooh, you know what I mean? That's like if you make, you know, $100 a day or something, someone's like, you know, and you killed a whole freaking, you know, neighborhood or something. And they're like, all right, fine, you owe me $20. Okay. I mean, like, who cares?
Right.
You know, I'm worried about it. The money doesn't matter. They're going to get it back in, you know, more back channel dealings anyway. They don't care. But no people, you know, that made these decisions, whether they're bankers or politicians or, you know, BP, you know, safety people or executives or whatever, there's no person that's ever punished. It's all this, you know, these corporations, and basically, it's literally the stockholders that get punished because the money comes out of the company, not out of the, you know, the people who were in charge's pockets. I think that's one of the big problems. I mean, if the CEO knew that he would have to, it would come out of his pocket, I think they'd think a little bit more about what, you know, what they're doing.
Yeah, right, I agree. Let's see.
I mean,
what else we got here?
If the bankers thought that they might be hanged for what they've done, they would be much less inclined to do it because once you tell them that you're too big to fail, too big to jail, and now, I mean, like, basically in China, since their big confidence crash over there with all their manipulated data and, you know, pumping up and all that, you know, when their market did open, it was only running at like 50%. And they were allegedly, like, arresting people who were trying to...
Yeah, man, that was crazy. Yeah.
And you're getting close to that in the U.S., again, with things like PPP and that kind of thing. You know, you can be sued for interrupting a corporation's profits. So that, you know, in China, you've already got them basically arrested.
You're talking about the thing that happened last week with China?
Yeah, when their market cracked, you know, dropped 1,400 points in a night, and then next day, New York was down for 4 hours, which I believe was the longest ever, you know, daytime outage. And even with that, right, they give these great excuses, which anyone who knows much about any computer or software stuff, you know, they said it was just, you know, a software, you know, upgrade or something. Nobody does a software upgrade on a production server with no backup on a Tuesday afternoon. You know what I'm saying? Tuesday morning. It's not when you do that shit. You know what I'm saying? You do it on the weekend at night when no one's on the system. So that's just like a horribly bad excuse. And if we can to be a coincidence with China's 1,400 point drop? No, that's way too big of a coincidence.
Yeah, that's insane, dude. Like, I don't think people really understand the severity of it. But basically, I mean, is what happened is this country's economic means of financial advancement, you know, hit a downturn curvature that essentially rendered the country, I guess you could say, financially vulnerable, financially exploitable, and, you know, also tanked the currency. So I think, what were they doing? They were telling the people to spend or not to spend? Because they were, like, arresting people to do something. I forgot what it was exactly.
I believe it was they were arresting people who might be trying to sell off. They don't want anyone selling because, you know, the whole banking system anywhere is all based on confidence.
Okay, yeah.
You know, the currencies are based on confidence. If people think that the dollar is going to be worth less tomorrow than today, and they're going to try to spend it today, you know, in exchange for something, a physical, you know, durable physical type good, something that they perceive will have more value in the future. But at the same token, you know, especially when it's non-physical things like investments like stocks and all that, if you believe that it's going to be worth less tomorrow, then you're going to dump it. Because, you know, you're selling it, it's only going to go down from here. I mean, that's basically kind of like what happened with Lehman. You know what I mean? Everyone was overextended and essentially, like now, insolvent. And J.P. Morgan saw that things were going to go down, and they, you know, had a margin call and made them say, and said, hey, Lehman, all that money that you owe us, if the stock gets this, you now owe us. And then so they made them pay all that, and that is part of what pulled the plug on Lehman. And, of course, after that, everyone's like, well, if Lehman can fail, anybody can fail, and nobody wanted to, you know, be without a chair when the music stopped. So it becomes that fire sale. The movie Margin Call is a great movie that shows kind of how that plays out. The same thing in China. But, again, because they're a – essentially, at the end of the day, they're still communist controlled. So the, you know, the state can step in wherever it wants, and they're making it, you know, they're making it illegal to sell in the panic. Which, if you really think about it, it's very similar to what's going on in Greece. You know, it's capital controls on stocks rather than capital controls on ATMs. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's like, what does that sound like? What else does that sound like? Yeah. But yeah, essentially, the Asiatic countries are really interesting. Essentially project a global threat from the perspective of full spectrum dominance in the terms of geopolitical warfare. And one of the things with the East Asiatic countries, like, you know, Laos or like Burma, which is now Myanmar, and again, this is, you know, sort of echoed in what we see in strifes, in physical military conflicts, like we saw in Burma the last, you know, what, six some odd years leading up to its military derailment of Burma and establishment of Myanmar. So, you know, again, it's very difficult. You know, I guess you could say, a lot of people would say, looking at the grand chessboard, we see that countries like Vietnam and, Burma are of strategic geological importance for our quote-unquote national defense abroad. So why can't they just essentially, you know, go in there and, you know, railroad the whole system? And it's mainly because they don't have a system. Again, a lot of the bordering countries have a system of communism in play, and they call it just that. They, you know, it's called communism. Whereas over here, we attempt to disguise it with capitalism and free trade. Now, again, those Orwellian words will only go so far, at least with people such as myself, but it's really difficult to derail a country, even if they have a militia or a very, very large and armed military force. It's difficult to do that because there's no essential political structure. A military structure is not a political structure. And, you know, I think that's a big confusion. But, you know, once you establish the difference and that's understood that, you know, one is not essentially the other, it's more readily easy to understand why things like, you know, why Russia or America might have backed, you know, Cuba or something like that, you know, or you know, Nicaraguan rebels or something like that. It becomes easier to understand because, you know, there comes a point in which these military rebel leaders or militia members essentially are able to be overthrown for a political system. So when that is possible, you have these rebel groups that again are now able to project, you know, without essentially a military leader there, again, if being backed by, you know, the friendly or our country or whatever, being backed by the friendly, you're able to, you know, just cut that military member off by whatever means. And in doing so, you can then choose essentially which, you know, where you want to go from there. If, you know, you can have the one faction of rebels who believe in this political ideology step up and, you know, take leadership, political leadership, and then have an opposing side. And if you really want to get subversive about it, you can kill off the leaders of the other side and install some sort of proxy leader that bends to their ideological basis, and then you have a true established proxy, you know, political system that you can diverge from and do whatever you wish from there on an international scale and be recognized in the international community. And that's essentially what's important. And again, that's why these, you know, countries like Malamar can only establish a military, you know, prowess, because they have no real political leadership. They have no real political ideology, you know, ideological sensibilities. So, you know, other countries can get a good headway.
Well, and that's part of the beauty of the just us, you know, global paradigm is, you know, when it's a country that the, you know, Western powers, you know, the U.S., U.K., Saudi, you know, Israel, whoever, you know, when those, when that group wants turmoil somewhere, then the people that are, you know, rising up against the established government, you know, are freedom fighters and refugees and, you know, the good militia rebelling against the bad government or whatever. But as soon as the puppet government gets installed, you know, and is now controlled by the West, anyone going against the government is now a terrorist, surgeon, you know what I mean? They choose who is considered internationally recognized based on what they need out of them. You know what I mean? It's just like, you know, an international version of you going to your local court. It doesn't matter. Once you're in their court, you know what I'm saying, you are not going to get a fair trial. That's why they did the court, you know, the trial in their court. So
right.
They who they allow into being, you know, recognized as a quote legitimate, you know what I mean? You know, that's why I love like our government saying that some other government illegitimate. I'm like, really? You know what I mean? Like you have one illegitimate group calling another group illegitimate. It's all BS. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The, you know, running our government are the terrorists. You know what I mean? So when they call us domestic terrorists, it's like, really? It's all just based on perception, fence you are.
Right.
You know, but they don't portray it that way. You know, the government is religion, and they are infallible.
Yeah, and, you know, you can especially tell that the people are, or a specific group is, are being unfairly categorized and unfairly targeted because of that characterization in ways when words that aren't essentially, I guess you can say, meant for that definition are used. Again, like calling citizens terrorists, terrorism, again, is a form of warfare. So within war, within a war, there's something called terrorism, which is deployed in order to do things like disrupt services, disrupt maybe ideological quotas or the common consensus, or to make people afraid to have movement going on in one area, maybe, you know, converge everybody into another. So So again, that's a form of warfare, you know, in the terms of like dominance. That's something that must be deployed in order for that to be reached. So, you know, it's these Orwellian words again, you know.
But again, you mentioned, you know, the strategic, you know, geographical importance of some of these places. You know, I think that to a point might be why, you know, some would say that, the, you know, if Greece was to reach out to Russia and the BRICS type system to bail them out, where, you know, where the IMF won't, then, you know, in that context, then Russia would be, you know, an allied nation of Greece, who is a NATO member, you know what I mean? And if they start, you know, the Russians start, you know, bringing assistance and potentially, you know, munitions to Greece, I mean, that's, you know, the Cuban Missile Crisis kind of thing for lower Europe. You know, and then you've also got Japan now, I guess they're starting to make some changes there as far as them being able to have, you know, weapons of war and the ability to make war again, as China and them and several of the Asian countries are, you know, debating and disputing over these islands as far as who actually, you know, owns the fishing rights and the rights to the islands from a strategic control point. You know, everything is getting stirred up, and I think that's what this whole Iran thing is too. You know, I think the majority of this is all scripted, you know, for a plan, you know, New World Order type structure. You know, and so the timing of this thing with Iran is just like everywhere else. You know, it's creating a front in a new conflict, because when this whole economic buffet collapses, you know what I mean, they're going to have something large scale enough to make sure that no one ever finds out, you know, never follows the money back to who actually was responsible. Can't have that.
All right. Yeah.
It's interesting if you think about, like, on an economic level, if everyone owes everybody something, right, and essentially it all goes back to whoever lent it, if you follow it all the way back, and think of the money trail it's a fuse, and if you burn it all the way back to the where it started, it all comes back to the central bank. So it's like, well, there's, you know, there's where it all started. Here's where we went wrong with these people. But they don't want that to be discovered. They'll burn the world before they let the trail of, you know, evidence. So, you know what I'm saying?
Right. I'm going to check this out. Colorado rejects medical marijuana for PTSD treatment. The first thing that comes to mind is, I'm just wondering, okay, like, when something is established, like some sort of disorder, and then, like, the practice of treating that is established, is that practice established from the doctors, or is that established from the state? Like, because the state dictates, you know, what drugs are what and how they're categorized and blah, blah, blah. So, like, I'm just wondering, like, that doesn't, by the way, here, we'll read into it. Colorado health officials on Wednesday rejected a bid by medical marijuana advocates to put cannabis on a list of approved treatments for post-traumatic stress disorder. So they rejected the bid to make it an approved treatment for PTSD. Colorado has allowed the use of medical marijuana to treat various ailments since 2001, the state's health board has three times refused it for PTSD. So yeah, what's up with that then?
Well, I mean, you know, part of my question, I mean, you're asking, you know, whose choice is that? I think it's a dual thing. You know, the doctor.
Well, yeah, obviously the people who work for, I see what you're saying. People who work for the state that partake in that dual thing are doctors themselves. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right,
obviously,
I mean,
it's bureaucratic, but they're by doctors.
Doctor,
but I'm saying, is it the state that dictates that, or the independent doctors? You know what I mean?
Well, I would think it's this way. The state says, you know, what substance is, you know, what schedule and what control, you know, mechanism is for these drugs. So if it's a, you know, a state, you know, illegal type substance, you know, it's a controlled substance to have, you can only have it given, you know, state law and medical, you know, indication. You know what I mean? You can be given, you know, Prozac or whatever because the state says that that's okay, that that's an okay use of it. It's essentially the state controlling your free choice of what, you know, will help you the most. But I think the doctors, of course, financially, it's all intertwined, like you were saying, the pharmaceuticals and the lobbies and the, you know, the kickbacks, you know, all that kind of stuff. I mean, I think, it, you know, just like so many things, who are they to control your choice? Then my other question is, if you can get it anyway, you know what I mean? Like, you, there are, well, I guess Colorado is still only medical only. They don't have any, they don't have recreational, do they? They just have medical, even though the medical thing is like, I stubbed my toe, okay, here's your marijuana card. You know, why can't these guys just do what everybody else does and just get it however they need to? I guess the point for the PTSD veterans and such is that technically they would be breaking the law to do that. You know what I mean?
So, yeah, and they could lose their benefits or something like that possibly. I'm not sure, but yeah, there's definitely implications for them.
And again, they could lose their jobs, you know, any of this kind of stuff, you know, it's because the state, the almighty, you know, all-knowing state says, no, we've made this choice for you. I mean, that's, you know, there's tens of millions of Americans that self-medicate, whether that be with tobacco, alcohol, caffeine, cannabis, whatever they want, you know what I mean? Puffing paint. People do anything to try to escape the reality of their drudgery. You know, sadly, they're driven to more dangerous things like alcohol and tobacco, as opposed to being allowed to freely choose something, you know, that might actually help not only their mental state, but, you know, the many and various benefits, not only of cannabis, but, you know, again, doctors aren't prescribing, you know, a healthy diet, you know, to fix your type 2 diabetes. They're saying, here, keep pumping these pills that you have to take forever. There's no money in helping people help themselves. And the entire purpose of our system is profit above all else. That seems like we're aiming for the wrong thing, which is why we're not doing a good job, you know, hitting a real target. We're shooting it, you know, a target of profit instead of a target of health.
Right. Got a couple other pretty cool things here. All right, so here's some weird news for everyone. Again, all the articles, all the headlines that we do are from readers. All right, so if you want to look at source material, just go to Reuters.com. Oklahoma man gets 30 years in prison for fatal atomic wedgie. Oklahoma man was sentenced late on Thursday, 30 years in prison for asphyxiating his stepfather with an atomic wedgie, December 2013. Person pleaded guilty to first degree manslaughter in May in the death of his stepfather. The person said he knocked down his stepfather, who was 58, pulled the elastic band of underwear over his head and around his neck. This mark left ligatures on the victim. Let's see. I guess cause of death was asphyxiation. It's kind of funny. He started with first
degree
murder.
That's a terrible way to go out right there.
Yeah, it's fucked up, dude. Here's another one. We got a Texan suspected of hitting cyclist driving off with victim and windshield. 19-year-old man was charged in a hit-and-run death of a cyclist. He is suspected of having struck with his car and then driven for more than a mile with the victim embedded in his windshield. Kind of difficult to say I didn't do it, driving around with a person on your fucking windshield like that.
Right. I didn't see him.
Yeah, right. I didn't see him, man.
I didn't notice there was this big ass coming in my windshield.
This boy is fucked. All right.
Maybe they were just, looking distracted by their phone.
Yeah, okay, distracted by their phones, right? Yep. Actually, heading to the next article says, Ohio police charged man who filmed but didn't aid teens in the car crash. So, yeah, I could definitely see phones being a distraction.
Well, I saw that one, too, and that's an interesting one because I guess the real question there is a witness, a bystander, legally, obligated to provide aid, especially in a litigious environment where if you go to help them and you damage them and they live, they can sue you. You know what I'm saying? Is it,
right.
Could you be charged with being a witness before the age of, handheld phone videos and stuff? How can you be charged for not helping someone whom you have no medical training to help?
Right. Well, this dude was actually charged with vehicular trespass. So, whatever. First of all, I have no idea what the fuck that is. That's just probably some bullshit fucking thing they made up. But either way, he didn't get charged. There's no. It doesn't say that there's any charge of. He didn't get in trouble for. I guess, filming it. It says that he only committed a crime when he entered the car without permission. So, yeah, but I know what you mean, though. In most states, it is illegal to not aid or whatever.
I mean, that becomes a really dicey thing. Again, the extremely over-litigious nature and make up the way this society is run is just completely, A, unnecessary, but it's gone just way too far. You know what I mean? I mean, the fact, you've ever seen that show, it's like, What Would You Do? And they call these, crazy situations and stuff. I mean, there's some stuff out there where there was, this person who, passed out in the street or something, on the sidewalk, and people just stepped over it. You know what I mean? It's like, damn. What does that say? You know what I mean? We don't even recognize each other unless we know them by family or, significant relations. We don't even look at each other as human. I mean, I see it all the time, at work, walking through the hall, the people I see all the time, and they don't even wave at each other unless they know them. You know what I mean? If you're just some other person from another building that I've never seen before, you're invisible. We would just destroy the whole concept of, oneness and, even empathy, for other humans, much less other life, that everyone is kind of like a drone. They're just doing their program of going to work and doing whatever they're told to do. They don't even consider anything else. And the rest of the time, their face is in their phone playing freaking Candy Crush or something.
Yeah. It's crazy. At first, it really didn't seem like that big of a deal, especially since the police chief was quoted as saying that we searched to try to find anything to charge him with. That it's not a crime to stick a camera where a kid is dying or try to sell it, because... I mean, it's kind of, it's fucked up in a few ways. First of all, that, the cops were looking for a reason to charge him. That's kind of fucked up. If he didn't commit a crime, he didn't commit a crime. I mean, I guess it's
That's the beauty of the whole legal system is there's a million and one things that they can charge at, All it sounds about the day like that, the concept of throwing the book at someone. Depending on the whim of the court, You know what I mean? The whim of the state, you could be charged with, you know, evading or something. But if they want to get all pissy, they can charge you with, you know, attempted, you know, manslaughter by leading them on a chase. I mean, they can just, you know, add on 10 more charges that technically we can make stick. You know what I mean? But it's all objective. The law is not enforced equal. You know, when, like you said, looking for something to charge him with, they just didn't like what he did. And there's enough shit on the books, we can find something, you know what I'm saying? Again, like, as you always say, which I love, get you, you know, force you to contract with them. You know, and I tell people all the time, that's the beauty of the state. Even if the state wrongs you, they pay you back with your money. So there's no benefit for you going to or through or fighting the state. Anything you do engaging them only costs you money.
Yeah.
Even if you win, you lose.
Right. one of the kids, I guess, in the video, they died later on. I mean, you know, one was 17, the other one was 19. One of the ones that he filmed, I guess, died later on. I have the video here. I could send it to you. And again, like I said, it really didn't seem like that big of a deal, but when you're watching the video and you see him, like, right in the face of, like, you know, again, of course, if he would have, like, moved it or something like that, you know, moved the kid or touched, you know, touched the kid or something, and then later on they die, you know, obviously he probably would have been held accountable for that as well. So, you know, who's really blame him? But it's kind of fucked up all in all, so.
Well, I think especially in the context of other current events involving, you know, law enforcement, the state, and people dying, you know, how the hell are you going to charge this guy with anything when you've got, you know, I can't remember how many hundreds of people have been killed by the police already this year, in the first, seven and a half months of this year. It's hundreds of people. And none of them, I think there might have been a couple of isolated cases where the officers actually got charged. But usually they get put on paid vacation on your dime, pending the outcome of an internal investigation in which they find themselves not guilty of doing anything wrong. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How the hell are you going to charge other people for something like third hand like that when you're not even, you know, doing what you're supposed to be doing, A, and you're not being prosecuted when you break the law? You know, how do you have any, you know, as the Ecuadorian president said, any moral high ground to tell anyone else without, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of funny. one show that you were talking about there, that What Would You Do or whatever, like if you're the, I think NBC has it or something, but they have a video up. It's teen drivers moments before a crash. And I'm telling you something, man, these fucking kids nowadays, dude, I don't think they know how to drive. Like, I don't think that they can emotionally handle driving. Like, I really don't. Not to, like, be, like, a dick or nothing, but seriously, I've noticed that, you know, they're even, you know, really willing to, you know, they're willing to even admit it, that they don't feel, you know, comfortable driving at times. So,
well, I mean, you know, I don't know how it is. Yeah, I don't know how it is where you are, but, I mean, people here, they can't drive for shit at baseline. God forbid there's a heavy rain or any sort of frozen precipitation, forget it. You know what I mean? There's obviously plenty of, you know, adult, you know, 30, 40-plus people, you know, weaving on the interstate and shit, and you finally get them next to them, and they're on the phone. You know, everyone is so engaged in the lesser important task. And I mean, like, when I'm driving, I, you know, if I'm, when someone texts me, you know, if I'm on the interstate, especially, you know, straightaway, it's not really, you know, exciting drive, you know what I mean? I'll just tell them, I'm driving. I'll call you back when I get home. You know what I mean? That's it. Or if my wife's there, I'll have her, you know, if my mom calls or something, I'm like, here, take this. You know, like, I'm driving. That's my main objective right now, is to not crash. Anything else after
right.
anything else can wait, you know. I'll be where I'm going. I don't usually go anywhere farther than 30 minutes or something away. It's like, shit, if it's that important, you know, I'll pull off at the rest area or the next exit and take the call, you know. But, you know, most people are just absent-minded, completely involved in their phone, you know. They just somehow lose focus on everything else. And I don't understand how you do that. You know, I think potentially, you know, like we talked about before, it's a programming going on there. They're sucked in and literally, even though they're not aware of it, completely distracted by these devices.
Yeah, they are. They're like, yeah, again, that's kind of crazy that you put it like that. You know, because I really wasn't even thinking like that. But, you know, you look at, anybody's really aware of it, but like the Hulk and the exoskeleton suits, essentially what they've like portrayed in like Advanced Warfare. But we've done plenty of shows years before any of that shit came out. And just sort of keeping updated on Raytheon's Hulk suit. I forget what the hell that stands for, but basically it allows the wearer to lift like 500 times his weight. Takes like a lot of pressure and relief off of basically like one step, or like even like a movement of the action of going into a step is like, you know, a couple steps, so to speak. But, I don't know. But, you know, those suits, you know, will be commercially available at some point in time. And you see things that were being used in neurotechnology, just like scan the brain and everything, just different mechanisms and different parts of those that were being used in like the late 2000s, like now being applied and used to like different type of gaming systems and stuff like that to allow that immersive experience. So,
well, we're getting to the point where, you know, some of these, as we always have been here for the last, you know, close to 100 years now, we have the technology to invent newer technology. You know, so when, you know, even old science fiction, you know, is most of today's reality, you know, has things that science fiction invented, you know, 50 plus years ago. So it's not crazy to think that, you know, the first prototypes of an Iron Man kind of thing. Again, look at the Hollywood movie. You know what I mean? That's exactly what that is. They even showed that in the one scene when they show, when he's in the courtroom or whatever, and he hacks all their screens and shows like the video prototypes from all the other countries. You know what I mean? That's exactly where they are on that movie. They're building, you know, think of the first computer. You know, it took up like half a city block. You know, now your freaking phone has a, you know, quad core chip in it, you know, the size of a freaking eyelash or something. I mean, it's just ridiculous how much, you know, once we get a technological system operating, we're able to then, you know, make it more efficient, make it smaller, all that. So, you know, today's big clunky exoskeleton suits are, you know, 20, 30 years from now is Iron Man suit. That's not crazy. We can do that. You know what I mean? If we put enough effort and design and money behind it, we can pretty much create whatever we choose to do.
True. Let's see. You want to, we'll take a break real quick and then we'll come back with some more headlines and stuff like that.
Sounds good.
Cool.
Damn, I ain't blessed this old mic in a minute.
What's going on, girl? How you doing?
You know, I don't give a fuck what people may say. To me, you're one of 6.9 billion. Yes, all the diamonds.
sweet kiss. Whenever I wrench this priceless device, I try to make things concise, yes and nice. Despite them tendencies to want to brag and boast, I'm obligated to promote nothing but good. Try to do what I can in the stagnant hope. Spark a spliff in the whip, take a drag and smoke. Ride around with canned goods and bags of coats for the less fortunate folks up in the hood. You know I know a ton of cats that do a lot of stuff. Still at the end of the day, yo, they feel it's not enough. Establishment provide a paper thin God to trust. And most religion been bought the fucking farm. When confronted with poverty, crime and death, your so-called leaders suddenly go blind and deaf. But once it hits suburbia, no time is left. War gets waged, everybody's up in arms. I represent the 10% upon the lunatic fringe, who insist insurrection is soon to begin. Some talk amongst ourselves, and yes, we contend that it already happened, and well, I'm one of them. Revolution, I believe, is in its infancy. Fragile, so we must handle carefully. Understand every little intricacy. Innocent casualties, that's a sheer nightmare to me. People, please, keep collateral damage at ease. Let them dehumanize you, they can murder you with ease. Some drums permit rarities. Kicks and snares appease my nostrils right along with the air I breathe. But it's unwise, dealing with middlemen and surprise. Incorporated invisibly, recognize the lies that lie beyond the eyes. They hide behind disguise ritually, like them Jimmy Swagger cats that front religiously, but obviously lack the strict discipline that is the key. So they block like shots by Mookie Blade, locking the doors to their knowledge of truth. I had all my net worth in a hefty single, now I'm lavish and glad, like I sold a catchy jingle down on Madison Ave. But I hit the Super 7 with some numbers I got from Psychic Sue. 3.2 million, fuck you. Sometimes I get the feeling the only thing that matters is the dollar. Most of the times you can bet that I'm mighty sure there's not a lot of things that most wouldn't do for the mighty dollar. And if they corporate peers don't wanna adhere, they'll rob from the poor. They got you on a leash, it's like llama and geese. Come out the crease after the progress cease. You get fleeced, it's like priests trying to process peace amongst beasts. Though it's nice and modern life trife, it don't suffice. Plans ain't right, Nixon bitches like Nixon, they lice. Just like wires get spliced and tires get sliced. Your liars get diced, cross rivals precise. Cause false idols entice, is it vital? You beat your Bible in the title of Christ. You can go into a booth and repeal any sin, if that's the truth. My rhymes here like Benny Hinn, I step through like Snefu. My queen reign like Isis, while you worshiping trite statues, we in a crisis. Let's be accurate here, for real, don't fight it. Before you measure my slang, at least get it excited, so you can get the true perception of the depth and width. I got the girth of the whole universe. The earth used to be a perfect circle. Once upon a time, 9 out of 10 Christians believed in miracles. Now they bow down to some lobbyists. Now the cash cow's the embodiment of godliness. My deity is creme de la creme. I thank G-O-D for M-O-M. This joint here is not clear channel compliant. So if you peeping this, it's probably through a mutual client. Fuck the FCC, I do what I wanna do. Fuck the radio, them DJs and they uncle too. This robotic democracy is electric as fuck. I got something for your program directors to suck. The truth is sorta chilling, like the slaughter of a quarter million civilian men, women and children. Sometimes I get the feeling the only thing that matters is the dollar. Most of the times you can bet that I'm mighty sure there's not a lot of things that most wouldn't do for the mighty dollar. And if they corporate peers don't want to adhere, they'll rob from the poor.
NWO Truth Radio, hanging out here in the studio with Wes. What's up, dude?
What's going on, man?
I said, dude, same shit, just a different day. Adding some, adding the articles of discussion to the Facebook page, so, yep.
Different day, man. I'm just glad it's Saturday. It's been been a good one for me, man. Got some stuff done. Want to hit some yard sales, save some money, got some stuff I needed. Did a little work in the garden. I had to add some lattices to my herb garden. My cherry tomatoes were going so freaking crazy. They were, like, falling all over the place. I was trying to get my self-sufficiency up and running. My tomatoes are coming in. My peppers are starting to come in. My potatoes that I just, like, dug a hole in and stuck in the backyard are, like, 18, you know, 18 inches tall, like, looking great. So I'm just glad I have the space and the land to start growing food. I really wanted to get some corn in this year, but it didn't happen. So we'll make sure I'm ready for a lot more next year. That'll be because, you know, we got moved in here in December, so we don't really have a chance to get anything ready in the fall. So just trying to keep all that going, and should have some eggs any day now for my chicken. So just getting excited about all that, man. Gardening is a patient man's game.
God damn it. What was I gonna say? How long does it take for the corn
One of the varieties that I have, I was gonna try to do. It says it can be as short as like 63 days from plant to harvest, which theory I was thinking about a lot of time. It was like mid July, it'd be like mid August, mid September. So, I mean, it's gonna start. I think, you know, it didn't really start getting cool until October. So, I mean, in theory, I might still have time to plant it. And I still might do it just for giggles. If it don't all totally work out, you know, this year for us is, like, all about a learning experience. You know what I mean? Like, finding out what works well, what doesn't, what spots are good, you know, get good sun. And, you know, just learning as much as we can. So our first year doing everything, first year with a house, first year doing chickens, first year growing stuff. But so far, you know, our potted tomatoes are probably the worst performers. I think they just need more water than the pot, you know, can hold, because they kind of dry out fast, you know, full day sun. Again, if one of us was home more during the day, we could, you know, manage this stuff better. But both working full time, you know, we can't give it full attention. Right. So. But I think putting as much as we can in the ground, we seem to have really good soil. My wife planted some cucumbers in one of the raised beds we built, and then she had an extra one, so she just stuck it in the ground on the side of the raised bed. And damn, it ain't the biggest one of them all. we're still learning. I think next year we're going to, you know, turn over the soil and dig our soil and mix it in with the stuff that we added this year. You know, so we're learning what works and what doesn't. But so far, other than a few different types of, like, moth larvae, caterpillars that ate some of our stuff, and we know we need to get some more Japanese beetle traps. But so far, we haven't had any, like, rabbits or deer or anything chew on anything. So far,
you guys have a caterpillar infestation recently?
Oh, we did. Well, apparently there's this, like, white moth that it was right. I mean, once we saw it happen, we looked it up, and it was, like, they, you know, right in the right time frame for when this moth, like, gestates annually or whatever. And, yeah, they ate, like, three of our collard green plants and stunted our tomato, I mean, our broccoli by chewing on them. And we found some organic insecticide stuff. Basically, instead of, like, killing it, it just drives stuff away. Basically, the one we have is mostly, I think, spearmint oil and peppermint oil mixed in with, like, a little bit of mineral oil. So it's non-toxic, and but the, you know, a lot of bugs really don't like a strong mint flavor. And we've got spearmint and peppermint growing in our garden, but it's not the same as, like, the oil being on the other plant. And in our other garden, we've got onion and garlic, which a lot of insects don't like the smell of, like, garlic and stuff. So we're trying to find the most, like, you know, non-toxic ways of doing stuff. We've also, you know, this year we're just now getting our compost up and running. So by next year, you know, we'll have really good organic compost, you know, with our chicken coop. We have, you know, like, the wood shavings, and then, you know, we get their their droppings mixed in there and throw that in the compost. And in fact, this past week it was so rich of nitrogen when it was breaking down, it started smelling of ammonia, because apparently that's, I looked it up, that's what happens. If there's too much nitrogen, not enough carbon in the mixture, it'll start off-gassing nitrogen in the form of ammonia. So we've got plenty of nitrogen. We just need that. We added some newspaper and some grass clippings and some food scraps and stuff to try to get the carbon content up. But these are all the things, like, you know, we got to learn in the first couple of years. We want to be able to, you know, recycle everything, take our food scraps and our lawn clippings and, you know, all the chicken stuff and turn that into free fertilizer for next year. So we don't, again, if you can't go to the store, you know what I mean? That's why the chickens are great to have with the garden, because the, you know, the chickens can eat some of your scraps and they can eat some of, you know, you can plant vegetables and stuff that they'll eat, and then they poop and that becomes fertilizer for the plant. So it's like this whole, you know, ecosystem thing. And I might try taking some of my water out of my pond and watering my gardens with that.
Yeah, man, it's like I said, self-sufficiency. It definitely pays off in the end there.
Yeah, I've got like a little over 200 gallons of rainwater storage, and I've got another 125-gallon IBC tote I haven't set up yet, just sitting in the backyard. Talking to people, and I had an idea, and another person said that they did it and it worked. So basically take like a big tarp and just like tack it to some trees nearby, so it creates like a rampway for the water just to funnel down into the opening of the 250-gallon guy, and do it that way. That, because anyway, it won't be running off the gutters like the rest of them are. It's just in the backyard. If I run a tarp off some trees or even some posts or something, I could collect more rainwater, fill that up, and use that. You know, I'd have like over almost 500 gallons worth of storable rainwater, which of course you could then boil or use make a little solar still with, you know, a bucket and a piece of plastic and a rock. You know what I mean? Let's evaporate it and condense it back in another clean jar. So, you know, water is everything. If you don't have water, you ain't got nothing. So I'm real big on trying to make sure there's always plenty of water available. If I don't have electrical power, I don't have a well pump.
Right. I see in places like Oregon, I think it's like Oregon or something like that, they made it essentially illegal or something like that to collect the rainwater. Like, just absolutely ridiculous shit. You can get in some serious trouble for it over there. I mean, I know you're not located over there, but I'm just saying that.
In California and like in Nevada, there was an article recently, I can't remember exactly where it was, but farmers are being told, you know, they're not allowed to, you know, draw from these different waterways because they're like naturally protected or whatever. But because of the drought, a lot of these downstream places, you know, creeks and, you know, rivers and lakes, and again, Lake Mead is one of the big ones, you know, they're like literally drying up. Like, there is no more water. So, I mean, it's definitely crazy in the western, you know, third or half of the country. Fortunately, in Virginia, we're actually doing pretty good on, you know, on rain and all that. So, you know, it's funny when I hear people at work or something and say, oh, what a, you know, yucky rainy day. I was like, yeah, but you like to eat, right? Yeah. Well, the farmers are loving this rain. Keep that in mind. Do you like fresh corn, fresh Hanover tomatoes? Yeah, then be glad we get rain. Otherwise, it'd be like California where they can't grow shit.
Right. Yeah.
Unless you want to pay $10 per ear of corn from God knows where, you know, be grateful. Cause, you know, Virginia grows a lot of food, too. I mean, hell, all around me, most people have giant cornfields. Some people have other, you know, beans or different stuff. But, I mean, it's a lot of corn.
Yeah, dude. I see different things about the drought in California there. just different outrageous things. Like, I don't understand how they could possibly be having, like, a drought when, I don't know, it's fucking California, dude. They're right there next to the fucking ocean, but I'm just saying.
Right, you live on,
I mean,
you live on the coast.
Not a real reason.
You live on the coast where the prevailing winds are blowing towards the land. How does it not rain? I mean, I guess you could
yeah.
say the same thing. You could say the same thing for places in Africa too. You know, I mean, you're all kinds of surrounded by water, but you know, the desert is growing there too. I mean, there's a lot more going on even than just, you know, weather modification can explain some of it. But you know, climate is not a constant thing on this planet. We know there's been recurring ice ages and, you know, droughts and all these different things. But people think that was just some other time, like that stopped. For somehow people think that doesn't happen now. You know what I mean? It's like, no.
Yeah.
That does, that still happens. You know, regardless of what we do, there's still going to be changes in the planet's, you know, current status. It might take hundreds of years. Well, we've been here for several hundreds of years, you know, thousands of years. Potentially way longer, but in that time, it doesn't look like it did before. You know, there's been, you know, the mini ice age was in like, what, like the 1940s or something? And then the last couple of years, look at like some of these places in Eastern Europe and even the, you know, some place in the U.S. where it's just been like ridiculously cold, you know? I mean, like stuff breaking because it's so cold. It's been crazy.
Yeah, it's been shitty out, too. It'd be like 100 degrees one day and then like 30 degrees the next. Just ridiculous shit, man. Wonky-ass fucking weather.
Central Virginia is famous for that, man. It'll snow 2 inches one day, like in a day or two later, it's like 65 degrees for like 4 days, and then it snows again. I mean, it's just like, it's always crazy. We're kind of like, you know, east of the Appalachians, which aren't real big mountains, but enough to, you know, cause some precipitous fallout. But we're also, you know, sandwiched between that and, you know, 100 miles in the other direction is the coast, which, you know, hurricanes come up. So, I mean, you get some really funky weather in Central Virginia.
Yeah. Now, up here we get everything from the jet stream, from the west of us and the south, as well as the north. So we get the north compression as well.
And you get, like, way more snow. And that's the thing, too, like, places that are kind of, you know, along the Mason-Dixon, you know, that kind of latitude, we don't usually get a lot of snow, so they don't have, you know, massive infrastructure, and they only budget a certain amount for, you know, long-term trend of snowfall. So when we get hit, even with, you know, 3, 4, 6 inches of rain of snow, I mean, like, shit shut down. You know what I mean? Like, schools close easy, you know, businesses, especially, like, you know, a lot of smaller companies and, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, shit just closes for, like, literally a couple inches of snow, where, you know, in big places up north, it's no freaking foot overnight. And, yeah, you're still going to work tomorrow. You know what I mean? Screw that.
Yeah.
My wife was in school in 2 years for Providence, Rhode Island. She was like, "Yeah, it, snow doesn't mean anything up there. Like, yeah, you might get to go in late a little bit, but by 10 we'll have everything clear." You know what I mean? I need some four-wheel drive because my driveway is like almost 300 yards long. One side's a hill, and the other side's the pond. So I don't even try to go out my driveway because if I slip and slide, I'm going to end up underwater.
It pays off up here to have a vehicle that's relatively good in the snow. Like I said, we get all the bullshit off of Lake Ontario and all that other crap, man. We get all that shit. So we get bombarded with stuff, man. And then, again, like, the atmospheric spraying, it becomes a little bit more noticeable. Like, I think is what they're trying to do is I think they're trying to, like, quote-unquote, like, combat, whatchamacallit, global warming. That's at least, like, what they say that they're doing. So, like, if they go as far as saying that, like, I could probably go, like, one step further and be like, okay, well, maybe they're, you know, doing it for some sort of other reasons, you know, other various reasons or whatever. But I don't know. It's definitely noticeable, and it definitely has an impact. You know, I mean, they think it doesn't have an impact, but it does. There's that movie Snowpiercer or whatever.
Dude, that's a
pretty
crazy
movie.
I need to watch that
yeah.
again. I mean, even though I know what happens at the end, it's been long enough I could watch it again. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of a strange movie all the way through. If you get to the end and you're like, wow, I thought that was a good ending. What did you think?
Yeah. That was definitely a cool movie, man.
And you finally, like, understand why, like, they were doing what seems so crazy. It's like, I agree that that's, like, jacked up, but I understand, you know what I mean, like, why you're doing that. I'm not saying they did it the right way. I think, you know, but, you know, it's a really neat movie. That was one of those random Netflix gems where I was like, what the hell is this? And I was watching it, I was like, that was a good flick.
Huh. Oh, yeah, that's right. It is on Netflix, huh?
It was. My internet's so worthless out here in the country that I don't even really watch Netflix or YouTube or anything. I watch YouTube sometimes at work, usually just to listen to X22.
You guys don't got files or nothing?
No, we got freaking satellite, and it's just really... So it's fine for, like, surfing and stuff, but you can't stream for shit on it.
What do you have for internet, just Wi-Fi or whatever? Like,
yeah, we just use the Wi-Fi off the satellite, you know, but it's just, satellite is fine for browsing, but it doesn't have the data rate or the ping time to do streaming effectively.
Right, yeah. Yeah, dude, I don't know, I assume, like, if you got satellite, it's probably, like, more like what satellite oriented, obviously, like the TV and shit. So,
yeah, I mean, we could get
like
direct here. We haven't had cable in forever. We just watched everything on Netflix or, you know, on online, you know, sites where they stream, you know, even, you know, recent stuff or whatever. So, all we needed was the internet. And it's interesting you bring that up too, because I did see an article earlier this week where, I guess, the cable companies are actually starting to feel the financial suffer from the ability for people to stream. It's like, again, a lot of places are now, you know, like Walking Dead's one of the really popular shows, but if you have, like, the cable subscription or whatever, you can watch it online from their site. You know, more and more places are kind of adopting the more internet model for their distribution of, you know, their television or movie or show, you know, service, and they don't need the cable company. All they need is an internet connection, and the cable companies can't really compete because they can't stop it. That's why you know have all this net neutrality and all that. You know, again, if the bill is named neutral, it means clearly they're trying to make sure it's not neutral. They want to make sure it's controlled. So, you know, we could get DirecTV or something, but for what programming's out there, like, it's not worth it. We don't care that much. But it's really painful not having high speed internet. We went from, you know, the nice fiber optic Fios package to, you know, something slightly better than dial-up. So it's just the one spectrum, one end of the spectrum to the other is just that much more painful. I'm used to watching HD streaming, you know, smooth, and now I can't even watch, like, you know, anything streaming. Even YouTube's, like, slow. So it's like, ugh. But, you know, as my wife and I say, we didn't move to the country to sit around and watch the internet. You know, we're not here to garden and be self-sufficient. So, in a way, I look at it, it's kind of getting used to it not being there anyway.
Right. So, I don't know how much of the Patriot Act thing that they renewed or whatever, the NAA thing there, but I know that they... In June, a bunch of the different sections to that bill was, like, up or whatever. And I guess they revamped some of it. And I was just kind of curious to see exactly what parts that they revamped besides the domestic spying, you know.
Well, I mean, that's the joke, though, too. I mean, like, you know, the courts have ruled that all this is unconstitutional and this and that. Well, they don't care. They are the enforcers. Who's going to take them to court? You know what I mean? Just like that junk earlier last week or so with Trey Gowdy, you know, subpoenaing Hillary Clinton. Well, she's been subpoenaed plenty of times. She was subpoenaed for Benghazi, and she bumped her head and just didn't show up. You know what I mean? Anyone else would have a warrant for not showing up to a subpoenaed court appearance. You know what I mean? But they don't. They're in the big club. So all this stuff you hear about, subpoenas and courts and all this stuff for the crooked, bankers and politicians and whoever else, it never goes anywhere. It's all fear. I like what Trey Gowdy is saying and the kind of stuff he's pursuing, but most people know, like, you're never going to see someone like Hillary Clinton, get a warrant out for her arrest and get, led away in handcuffs for failure to appear. You know what I'm saying? That happens to us over like a freaking $20 speeding ticket. They'll arrest you, but they don't arrest the people that pay their bills. You know what I mean? That's just suicide.
That's crazy. Yeah, it is. It's definitely jails reserved for the plebeians. I guess you say the plebeians in society.
Absolutely. But. I think, especially with the younger generation and even beyond that, as everything gets worse and, everything's illegal and the more the cops are, just killing people, people are just literally just choosing not to comply anymore. You know what I mean? The hypocrisy of it and just the danger of even, any kind of confrontation with the state is not worth the, like I said before, anytime you deal with them, even if you win, you lose. So there's the only way to win is not to play. And more people are like, yeah, I'm just not going to go along with it because it's lose-lose situation. So why even involve yourself?
Yeah, man. So I don't know. What we got going on for this week? We got Conspiracy Corner on Wednesday or try to do that again or...
Yeah, I'm totally up for going for that. Like I said, the last couple of weeks was you had a lot going on, and I was busy. My wife had surgery, and I was down for a little while with some health issues and stuff. So we'll definitely get Conspiracy Corner back online and see what happens. I think it's only going to get more interesting between now and September. The first day of Jade Helm wasn't really anything in the news, but the second day of it, there was this, shooting in Chattanooga, and now, of course, there's this, big push all over the country to arm, more military people and this and that, so that's kind of a double-edged thing, given who's giving the orders for the military, and now they're, they're arming more of them domestically. I think it's good and bad, but it's interesting that, that agenda is now in play, and it's, coincidentally the first week of, Jade Helm. So there's a lot of interesting shit going on.
Yeah, again, it's always more, I think, interesting and creative when we do a broadcast that has a good, strong topic point to air from YouTube and stuff, get some live feed going through there, particularly about, the shootings and stuff like that. We can go into some of that and we can maybe display some of the chemical compositions behind some of these possible actions as well as psychological and move on from there. Hopefully, we'll have While You're Sleeping back up online Friday, and I don't know, we might maybe air something in between, depending on how tomorrow night and Monday works out. So, but we'll definitely have a couple shows back up at the end of this week for everybody, and we should probably by the end of the week have YouTube filled up as well. So.
Right on, man. I'll keep my eye out for obviously what's going on, and also any interesting guests, people I run into, or meet online or whatever. Get some were posted on the page there, and it's up on Conspiracy Corner Facebook page, or comments and stuff on the YouTube channel for NWO, and all kinds of ways to get us ideas and show topics and join the discussion. So all about listener involvement for sure, to get more people involved and get more opinions for a larger base of perception. So definitely have to get back in the game here, man.
Yeah, definitely. That sounds like some fun episodes to maybe air in between Wednesdays and Fridays, a couple more shows on perceptions. It kind of, like I said, that got a rather good feedback. So, yeah, and like Wes was saying, you get all of us, nwotuberadiomedia@gmail.com. Check out the YouTube page. And in the meantime, stay vigilant and stay informed. We are the New World Order. Dun, dun, dun. Let's see what we got here.
They got to do. We don't like stopping at the laws.